FW presents Panel by Panel, the show that dissects a single comic book panel from the last 85 years of comics history each episode. I'm Siskoid, and our panelist today is former artist and comedian Paul Cornish. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're part of my New Year's resolution to to get some people on my shows that I've been interacting with for a long time on, usually on Twitter, but even through blogs. You used to have a blog that I loved, you know, where you created your own Amalgam Comics characters on.
Yes.
There. I love that. I love that so much.
Yes, I did. Yeah. God, that was years ago now. That was about 10 years ago. But that helped me train myself on Photoshop, that did.
Yeah, well, it was cool. And it's like 10 years ago, man. I've been blogging for like 15 years, so feeling my age. You've moved on, I have not. So so now let's do our randomized series of choices using my database of available comic book materials, either physical or digital. Prior to the recording, we rolled up a year, a month, a comic on the stands that month, a page, and finally a panel. And in this case, we rolled the year, 1979, the month of August. Among all the comics of that month, the revolving finger falls on Superman Family number 198, actual cover date November-December, from the Lois Lane story by writer Jerry Conway and artists Bob Oxner and Vince Coletta. We got page 38 of 51, panel 1 of 6, and you'll find this image in the show notes at fireandwaterpodcast.com. So, Paul, 70s Superman, is that in your wheelhouse at all?
Yes, I'm very, very fond of 70s Superman. Superman should always have sideburns, as far as I'm concerned. And I really enjoy Clark Kent being a TV newsreader, even though, like, it's a terrible job for Superman to have. Really, it makes no sense for him to be a TV newsreader because, yeah, he's one of the most famous faces in the country in both his identities, which doesn't really seem that wise.
That and you're stuck, like, that hour is a great time to commit crimes.
Well, this is it, yeah. Superman never seems to be around at 6 o'clock in the evening. Maybe I should launch my giant robot at that time.
So it's important to keep the secret identity because then they've decoded it. Well, let's look at this panel here. So would you do the honors and describe this horizontal panel for the listeners?
Yeah, this is a fantastic panel. There's so much going on in it. So in the foreground, there are two calf muscles. So you're looking between a woman's legs. And to the left of this woman is another woman saying, "You're fast, sister, but you're outnumbered." And behind her is a woman on her knees with her backside in the air, like she's just been knocked over. And then to the right of the calf muscles is another woman saying, "Who cares who killed Reggie anyway? She was a bad apple. Everyone hated her, except her boyfriend and Bobby." And then the woman with the calf muscles is saying, "Hand over the skates before you get hurt." And they're all focused on Lois Lane on roller skates. She's the only one on roller skates. And she's holding another pair of roller skates. And she's saying, she's thinking to herself in a thought bubble, "It's at times like this, I'm glad I studied Clerkore." And there's a little box at the bottom saying, "Clerkore is Kryptonian karate, taught to Lois in Bottle City of Kandor." So that's the panel. It's a doozy.
Yeah, what is your impression of it?
Oh, I love it. I mean, I think it tells a story in itself. You don't really need to know. I mean, I've not read the story it's from, and I don't feel I need to. I'd like to know why Lois is holding a pair of roller skates and is also wearing a pair of roller skates. And I'd like to know why these women seem to be half after those roller skates. And indeed, who Bobby is and who Reggie was. You could just see Lois is, she's ready to rumble. That's what I like about it. You know, she's got these 1, 2, 3, 4 women ganging up on her. She's on roller skates, they're not. And she's just ready to kick some butt.
Yeah, I don't know if Clerkore has a component where, you know, with skates, where you use them as nunchucks or something. And I like to think that the woman in the back that got knocked over, or it looks like she's puking her guts out, that maybe she got hit by, you know, skates to the face.
I love that idea that Lois Lane is just clobbering people with a pair of roller skates left, right, and center.
Having seen the story and knowing a little bit more of the context, I'm disappointed to say that's not the case.
No.
She just ran into this other woman who is also, if we put some context on here, miscolored because she's African-American in the previous panel.
That's so bad.
Oops.
That's really bad.
But they're all in the same roller derby team here. Yeah, so I imagine that Lois is undercover.
Yeah, that because, yeah, they're all wearing the same thing, aren't they? They're all wearing like a white bib over their red skirt. But she's the only one in roller skates. That's the weird thing. The rest of them are just wearing little red socks.
Must be after the game.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, maybe after or before the game, so Lois Lane is slower to take him off or knows the value.
Yes. I mean,
you see it. There's movement in the panel thanks to the you know, lines that we now understand. You know, at some point people didn't, you know, that wasn't invented, movement lines.
Yeah.
But, you know, by now, of course, we're very used to it that, you know, she's just spinning around 180 degrees on those skates and the other skates are, that there's movement there. But maybe the other ones, like to me, the perspective or the environment is weird because they're in this low rectangular box.
Yeah.
You see the ceiling where there must be light because they're top lit. There's some shadows. Like the ceiling is so low in the perspective and they're all crouching. So it feels like they're in a very, you know, if we put the skates on, we're going to hit our heads.
So maybe the woman at the back actually just clobbered her head on the ceiling. Lois didn't whack her at all.
As a 6'3", 6'4" person, this would happen.
Yes.
Maybe Lois Lane is more petite than these rough and tumble roller derby sportswomen. You know, it's possible.
Well, yeah, they've got a bit of a sort of a certain vernacular to the how they're speaking, like hand over the skates before you get hurt. And everyone hated her, except her boyfriend. It implies they are a bit, you know, rough and ready. Like,
yeah, lower class or,
yeah,
you know, street roller derby.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like their positions anyway. You know, it's like it's awkward. You know, the artist has tried to fit them into something maybe a little too, not a tall enough panel in a way.
Mm.
But it's like the one on the left, she's doing that improv typewriter, you know.
Yes. You
know? Now I'm in an improv and I'm playing the piano, miming the seat. That's what she's doing. And the other one, it's like she's almost going to bite someone, like catcalling.
Yeah.
And like it's that position, I think, like a very threatening.
Yeah, face first kind of position, like, yeah. I like how in 70s comics, being on roller skates was like the coolest thing a character could do. Like the most advanced, like Iron Man had roller skates as part of his armor, you know?
It's like, oh, yeah. Wasn't there like a roller skate man?
Oh, yes.
Briefly.
There was. Was he an Avenger or something? Or he was a Spider-Man bad guy who became a superhero. Am I thinking
of... Oh, there was that. Yeah. I'm not even thinking about the same one. it was Neil Adams. When he went over to, I don't know, Comico, or I think there was like a roller skate man in there.
Amazing.
So, yeah. So this is obviously part of a fad where we're just at the right place. Like today, it would be rollerblades and that would sound a lot more dangerous.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about that caption box because it is signed JS, which would be Julia Schwartz.
Of course.
It was the editor. I find like this strange font difficult to read. Like the L's are, or the I's are too curly.
Yeah.
So Lois is called Lols.
Christian karate told to Lols.
But generally, I wonder if this is at all inspired by some of those James Bond posters where the action is between the legs. You know, it becomes like a very classic thing that you see in a lot of movie posters.
Yeah. The ceiling looks awkward. But I really do like the perspective we're looking at, you know, through these legs. Like, it does work really well. And you're right. Has it been stolen? Like, you know, with a bit more detail, that view through the legs could be a cover, a comic cover, you know?
Right, if we had more. And I know that this is the kind of position that has been controversial or, you know, the idea that women are legs and you never see their heads and that it happens, and it's like James Bond being a sexist icon, you know, that kind of thing. But of course, here everybody's a woman. Lois Lane is the heroine, and she can take care of herself.
Yeah.
Regardless of whatever, you know, whatever courses she took in Candor.
I actually don't like that idea. I mean, I love the concept of clerk or They should bring that back, definitely. But I don't like the idea that she can defend herself because of her association with Superman. She's gone to Bottle City of Kando and she's learned this martial arts. Why can't it be, at times like this, I'm glad I'm just really hard?
Yeah, and I don't know if in the Bronze Age her dad was a military officer or not. I don't know. But, you know, that would be a good excuse if you were brought up as an army brat. Probably you took self-defense courses. Probably your dad sort of imposed that on you. You saw combat as something of an interest as a young woman.
Yeah.
But yeah, the whole Clerk Corps thing is unnecessary. I mean, it never actually looks like an alien martial art. It's not. It just looks like karate.
Yeah, it just looks like she's about to whack everyone with a pair of roller skates, which you don't need to do a self-defense course in a alien Bottle City in order to just clobber people with roller skates. Anyone can do that. Like,
yeah, I think this is a story that needs to be retold where she actually does use roller skates or roller blades as nunchucks.
Yes.
I think that would be cooler.
So do you know what the secret of these roller skates is then? Why are they after her roller skates? Is that why they're surrounding her?
No, I think they're after her because she's investigating some kind of murder or any a crime.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. You know, again, we're out of context. So what we imagine is probably actually cooler than what the story is.
Yes.
The skates is MacGuffins.
Yeah.
Or weapons. Or... So any last thoughts on this panel before we go?
Well, I think I want to read the comic now, definitely, which is... And I really like the artist, Bob Ostner. He's does some great covers. And he's done one of my favorite Superman covers, which is Superman eating a load of burgers for some reason. I love that cover. It's quite a famous cover. I don't know if... people are familiar with it. So that's another reason I want to read this comic, because I am very fond of this guy's art. And and like I said earlier on, you can imagine this panel as a cover.
And I can sort of promise, I haven't flipped through it, I can sort of promise there's a lot of nice roller skate action.
Well, what more do you want, really?
This is what my wish for Bronze Age Lois Lane would have been. It's like, I know here she's undercover. It's a rough sport, but I have friends who do it. So I would have liked, like, this is not her undercover. I would have liked it if Lois Lane just was in a club. You know, she's just in this roller derby club.
Yeah.
As a after-hours activity, after, you know, after work. She goes to her, and then something happens.
Yeah.
But I think that this seems like a good sport for Lois Lane.
Definitely, yeah. Better than Clerk Corps, anyway.
Who are you going to practice with? There's only like two people who know how to use it on Earth. On that note, thank you, Paul. Is there anything online that people that you're working on that people can check out?
Well, I heartily recommend the Comics Cube YouTube channel. I contribute to some videos on there, and it's run by my friend Doi Tano, and he does a lot of amazing interviews with really cool comics creators. So you can see me in a few videos on there and see some really great interviews done by my friend Doi.
So that's Comics Cube.
Yeah, on YouTube.
Then I'll let you go back to the margins. We'll listen to a short promo, and I'll come back with listener feedback on our previous episode. In 2011, the Irredeemable Shag and Aqua Rob Kelly teamed up to create the Fire and Water podcast. In 2016, they teamed up with Ryan Daly, The Franklins, and Siskoid to form the Fire and Water Podcast Network. A network built on teaming up needs a show about team-ups.
Marvel Team-Up.
Yes.
The Brave and the Bold?
You know it.
Marvel 2-in-1.
It's clobbering time.
DC Comics presents.
Of course.
Supervillain team-up?
Good idea.
Youngblood X-Force?
Technically.
FW Team-Up, only from the Fire and Water Podcast Network. And now your feedback on our previous episode, comment by comment. So that episode was Fish Heads, that's the title of it, in which my guest, Gareth Madeley, and I looked at Shade the Changing Man issue 13 and a single panel, obviously, with some sort of fish priests on there. Chris Franklin says, fun discussion about a very strange panel. I knew the song was coming, but I appreciated it nonetheless. I do recall an indie comic called Fish Police in the late 80s or early 90s that got a very brief animated series on network TV. I wonder if that influenced any of this. I'm glad Gareth brought up Milligan's Batman work. I really enjoyed it, and Ryan and I covered Dark Knight, Dark City on Nightcast. If you remember that show, we have Captain Entropy says, great to have panel by panel back, and cheers to Gareth. So people seem to be under the impression that it was gone, but the last episode was on track, you know, last fall. It is a quarterly show. It shows up. This is the key. It shows up every time there's a fifth Tuesday in a month, and that happens four times a year. So you're going to get normally four episodes of panel by panel a year. Just look at those long months. Martin Gray says, thanks for another fun show. It's great to hear a new voice, and a British one, too. Hello, Gareth. I noticed that you kept using the surname only Siskoid. Should I stick to that? I call him Maidley, but that's because that's his name on Twitter, and that's where we became friends. He says, I much preferred Chris Bachalo's work here, although perhaps his own style is subsumed under Mark Pennington's inks. It's just that as he found his own style on Marvel's Muty books, I found his compositions harder and harder to follow. It is inarguable, although, that he is a singular talent. And Ange says, I am a huge fan of Shade the Changing Man and all its incarnations, but the Milligan book is stellar. I will admit to being confused at first because I forgot about the interlude in number 13, an issue much more about Shade's struggle with the residue of Troy Grenzer, the person whose body he inhabits. So many great panels in that storyline. As you say, Bachalo sort of grew up on this title. You can compare Shade number 1 to this issue. You can already start to see some of his current style starting to emerge. A book like Shade with completely bonkers events like Fish Priests was perfect for him to cut loose. Not much to add about this panel. It is odd. So glad to see the show is back. See, Ange, it's not back. It's back the same way that a monthly show is back every month. And he says, always up for another go if you have an empty slot. So I might take you up on that. For now, let me just say that the Fire and Water Podcast Network has a Patreon page at patreon.com/FW Podcast. If you like this content, want more like it, think about leaving a one-time or monthly donation. I will also remind you that you can leave comments at fireandwaterpodcast.com, on the Fire and Water Facebook page, or on Twitter, where we are FW Podcast. My thanks again to my guest, Paul Cornish, and until we refill that seat, the panel is open.